The good news is that you don't need to sit down and read the Bible from cover to cover in one massive chunk. All you need to do is read it one bit at a time. G'day everyone, my name is Mark Schroeder and welcome to Schroeder's Bible Bits. I'm a college chaplain and my job is to teach children and youth the wonderful truths that are found in God's Word, the Bible. I speak at chapels, at youth services, at church services, I teach at kids clubs and lunchtime Bible groups. At all of these places, I always teach from the Bible because I'm convinced that from the Bible, we get to learn about God and how He has loved us and how He has saved us through Jesus. Tune in and continue to learn about Jesus for yourself, not in one chunk, but bit by bit. G'day everyone, here's another Schroeder's Bible bit about eschatology, and this one focuses on Jesus' return when He will finally come and judge. Take a seat, everybody. You've got the outline or a bit of a guide or some talking notes there in front of you with Bible passages and so on. So if you'd like to use that again today, feel free to do that. Today, continuing our series, Back to Basics theory, all about our eschatology, our future hope, the things of the last times. And today, we are remembering that Jesus is going to return and He's going to return to judge. This is something that ought to make us shudder. But this is something that ought to motivate us to preach the gospel. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can start our day by singing praises to You. Thank You that we can sing those great songs, those great words about rising and in the air, gathering with You. Lord, please help that day to motivate us. Help that day, both that day of resurrection, but also that day of judgment and condemnation, motivate us as we live for You today, as we live godly lives, but also as we preach the gospel, so as to see some repent and to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The annual all-in Schroeder cousin sleepover at my Alma's house at Springwood was the highlight of my childhood. Not the highlight, but a highlight of my childhood. You know, this Dutch is a bit of a theme at the moment this week, isn't it? If you were yesterday. My Dutch grandparents, my Opa and my Alma, lived in a house in Springwood. It was nestled in the bush, and together with my Katie, Monique, there's like six of us, seven of us, we would crash at my grandmother's house with my grandfather, my Opa and my Oma, and we would spend about a week there. It was a magical time, really. It lives on in my mind. A magical time of bushwalks, both in the daytime and in the nighttime. At nighttime, we would walk down to the glowworm caves down below. My grandfather would call the bush down below, with his Dutch voice. We would do arts and crafts. We would cook, and we would read the Bible together, and we would sit up late and do all sorts of fun things, eating sugary Dutch treats. But one thing, one moment that lives fondly on in my mind was first thing in the morning. I remember waking up in the morning and hearing the clatter of pots and pans in the kitchen because my grandmother was, of course, already awake. And you would walk from the bedroom into the kitchen, bleary-eyed and still in your pajamas, and you'd say, "Good morning, Alma." And before you could say anything else, she would exclaim, "Oh, good morning." And then she would come and she would grab me and just give me the biggest, squeeziest, huggiest hugs in the whole wide world. And it was just wonderful. You know those sorts of hugs? Those really big, squeezy ones where it feels like your eyes are going to pop out of your head, but at the same time, you just want to live there forever? It was one of those sorts of hugs. I still remember it, and even now when I go and see her, I love getting a hug from her. Even though she is a 90-year-old woman, it's not quite as squeezy and huggy. It's still wonderful. It's good to get a morning hug in that way. Well, when we think about the return of Jesus, I wonder if that's how you think about the return of Jesus. A little bit like a big, warm, incredible, squeezy, warm hug. Well, we've already seen that the return of Jesus will be incredible for us, right? For us who believe. However, today, rather than see that it's going to be like a warm hug, we're going to see that it's going to be a day of trouble. Growing up, my dad, Fred the bus driver, I don't know if he drove any of you guys to school, but Fred the bus driver used to drive tour coaches. And that meant my dad was away for days on, like, you know, about a week sometimes, down and out and about with oldies on tours and so on. And so believe it or not, as a child, I wasn't the most well-behaved child in the world. Especially for my poor mother. And so there were times when she would get so fed up with my disobedient antics that she would exclaim the classic line, "Wait until your father gets home." The thing is, I knew that she meant business when she'd pick up the phone and she'd talk to my dad, and I would hear her complaining to my dad about my behavior. Oh man, I would shudder. I'm going to get it when dad comes home. I'll talk about that because I actually think that the Bible shows us that return of Jesus isn't simply going to be a warm hug. It's going to be more like that cranky dad returning to bring swift, just, and powerful judgment. This is something important for us to know, but it's also something important for us together to preach, because judgment can be avoided. Listen to Paul as he spurs on his young friend Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word." So Jesus, the judge, is coming. And so Paul says to Timothy, "Fire up, boy, preach." On Tuesday, we read from John chapter 5, verses 21 to 30, about the resurrection that's coming when Jesus comes back, our resurrected bodies. However, let's revisit that passage again today and see, though, what that resurrection day will be for. John chapter 5, verse 21 to 30. Says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from life to death. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Notice that in verse 22 and 27, Jesus is quite clear that he will come to judge. He is the judge and he will come to judge. In the same way, in Matthew 16, Jesus says that the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. That's wonderful. And then he will repay each person according to what they have done. Matthew 25, 31 to 32 says that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and with all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Jesus is the judge and he is coming. He is going to make a distinction, a judgment. And verse 28 says that it will be for all the dead even. All the dead will rise for judgment. Verse 29, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The Bible's clear, isn't it? Judgment is coming. Everyone will be resurrected and everyone will be judged. There is a judgment coming for all people, and it will be completed by Jesus. He is the judge because the Father has entrusted that role to him in verse 22. And Jesus' judgment that he gives, whether it's for life or condemnation, is going to be pleasing to the Father. In the same way also, Paul writes in Romans 2, 7 to 8, "To those who persist in doing good, seek glory, honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." I'm generally sorry to say that the return of Jesus will not simply be a warm hug. It will be a day of judgment, of wrath, and of anger. A day when Jesus rightly and justly judges those who have not believed, who have rejected Jesus the King. Although sad, although it breaks our heart today, it will be just for Jesus to bring this judgment. Although today it literally breaks my heart to consider Jesus judging and condemning my unbelieving friends, my unbelieving family, the students that we love who don't yet believe in the Lord Jesus. It breaks my heart, and yet even so, I still champion his return, because his judgment to proclaim either life or condemnation is right and just, and it will ultimately give glory to God. Revelation 19 gives us the imagery that Jesus' judgment are true and just. We can back his judgments. For if life is proclaimed by Jesus, it's right and just, and God is glorified, because the only way he says that we have life is because God has saved us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And so God is glorified in that, right? But equally so, if condemnation is proclaimed, that is also right. That is also just. And God is also glorified, because God is giving exactly what sins deserve. God is a good judge to judge condemnation. This sad but right aspect of Jesus' judgment reminds me of a real-life person that I know and love and respect, who, after discovering that his friend sexually abused his children, put him in the car, took him to the police station, and headed him over to be sentenced, and he's in prison. It's a right judgment, isn't it? Tragic, heartbreaking, for that man to take his friend to prison. But the judgment of God is coming for all, and it is just. It is right. It is glorious. It is good. So the judgment of God is coming for all, for the living and the dead alike. And all will stand before Jesus, and his judgment will be either to life or to condemnation. And so as I come to face this truth with fear and trembling, with a lump in my throat as I consider those I love who, if Jesus came in the next 5 seconds, remember that tick, tick, tick? I think, warning. Judgment comes when Jesus returns. He's coming soon. Warning, warning, warning. It's part of what's going to happen on the last day. Don't get me wrong, it's not all that's going to happen. And so it's not the only thing that I preach. It's not the only thing that we preach. We do not just preach fire and brimstone. But equally so, we must not ignore it. We must not disbelieve it. We must not remain silent about it. Because sometimes negative news is the necessary news. Like a warning sign about crocodile-infested waters that we have in Australia. You know the ones? It's good to avoid those things. It's good to see those warning signs and to avoid the trouble. Listen to the warning that Peter gives us. It's on your sheet in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 15. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destruction of the fires by heaven, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. My kids like to watch a show on ABC Kids. I can't remember what it's called for the life of me. Maybe some of you will know, but it's about the human body. And the presenters do things that are gross on purpose to show how the body works. And they often represent the body with all kinds of weird everyday things. So think cupcakes that look like a big fessy pimple. Or think plastic bags joined together to look like the internals of the digestive system. To me, while fascinating, I'm still absolutely grossed out by that stuff. Even though they're making a really good educational point, and even though that I know that cupcake really isn't filled with pus, or that plastic bag really isn't filled with poop, when they squeeze it for demonstration, I cringe and shudder. I can't hack it. The description from Peter about Judgment Day is next level, just like that show, right? It's graphic. And Peter has been provocative on purpose about these last days. He wants us to shudder. And notice the shuddering moments about Judgment Day in verse 7, 10, and 12. Verse 7, there will be fires of destruction that are reserved for the destruction of the present heavens and the earth. We also hear about the destruction of the ungodly. Do you shudder? We should. Verse 10, the heavens disappear with a roar and the elements are destroyed by fire and everything is laid bare. Do you shudder? We should. I read that verse and I'm reminded about the South Coast bushfires a couple of years ago. Do you remember? We went down there not long after that happened and we visited the botanical gardens. I can't remember which one it is, but just down, way down south. And as we walked in there, you could see through the bush because everything was laid bare because a fire has ripped through. Everything will be laid bare on the day of judgment. Verse 12, the day will bring destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt. Do you shudder? You should. Peter's shuddering inducing imagery here ought to remind us of what's written in Isaiah chapter 34. Listen to it. Come near, you nations, and listen. Pay attention, you peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is on all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out. Their dead bodies will stink. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. All the stars in the sky will be dissolved and the heavens rolled up like a scroll. All the starry hosts will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. Do you shudder? You should. This is a terrifying and disturbing image of the end and an all-encompassing judgment that will occur and will occur in the last days. But the comfort is that this day that makes us shudder has not yet come. Isn't that a good but? This judgment has not yet occurred. It's not that God is forgetful. It's not that God is a liar. It's not that God is slow. No, Peter tells us in chapter 3, verse 9, that it's because God is patient. Although the present things are reserved for fire, and although unbelievers will face judgment to condemnation, God has not yet brought it because he is patient and he does not want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance, verse 9. How good is that? Because verse 15 tells us that God's patience means salvation. There is a time for people to hear God's word. There is a day today for us to preach, to share the gospel message about Jesus, to share the hope that we have in the resurrection, so that people would hear this wonderful message of the cross, so that they would repent and they would be ready and so escape the fire. This is a warning to use well, don't you reckon? To be like the faithful and wise servant in Matthew 24, who gives the household food at the proper time, not like the wicked servant who withholds it. To warn others, to be like Timothy as Paul encourages him to preach the gospel in view of Jesus' return. And the challenge that we have and that we received yesterday is that we need to be authentically Christian here. That's why we want to be authentically Christian. That's why we are committed to the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, we receive the hope for those last days. We need to be warned. We need the warning sign that says, Judgment Day is coming when Jesus comes. Get saved. So you see, even in the shuddering truths about the return of Jesus, so we can still be reminded about the saving truth found in the gospel of Jesus in the end. So we can still enjoy the hope that we have in being received into life with Jesus, which is far better than even the warmest of hugs that we will ever get today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the wonderful hope that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that because of Jesus, we do not need to fear condemnation. But because of Jesus, we can prepare for that last day when Jesus does return. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be motivated today to preach the beautiful gospel message, to share it with people around us so that many would hear and believe, so that they will repent from their sins and they would live for you and so be ready for the day that you return. Lord, we pray this for your glory because it will be a glorious day to see many saved because of your work for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today also to be productive in our day as we reach halfway in our week. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be motivated for authentic Christian teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can get in contact with me via Twitter at MRKSchroeder or on the Anchor app, you can actually leave a voice message. I'd love you to do that and I might include it in the next podcast. Catch you later.